So, ja, ek wil ook sommer net sê, laas week, ek hoop, ek het nogal gevoel, terwyl ons met lofprysing en aanbidding bezig is, is daar iemand wat tot aksie oorgegaan het na laas naweek se operasies? Is daar iemand? Corine, ek was ook weg om te gaan handel met die woord wat ek ontvang het, wat my derms op die grond laat leed. Is daar nog iemand? Jeroen? Annie B, ja, nog, ja, hoekom is julle skaam nou oor? So, ons vier net die goed waarin ons fouteer, ons moet die goed vier waarin ons oorwinning het. Ek het regte gevoel, ons met mekaar bemoedig om te sê, sjo, die woord wat ons ontvang het, het ons regte geopereer, ek weet nie van julle nie, maar van my, het, Rian kry my vrijdag aand, en hy sê, jong, nou leg al my derms op die grond. Ek sê, toe maar myne ook, so eenvoudige basisse beginsels van die evangelie, wat ons vergeet om te bly toepas in ons lewens. En, ja, so, Ek wou sommer net sê, ons prys die Here daarvoor, dat hy, want vir my moes hy, ek was van die Here afhanklik om te kan handel met die woord, ek kon net my eie krag nie handel met die woord nie. Want dit maak die saak hoe die situasie lyk nie, dit lyk altyd, of dit die ander, hy moes my bougainvillea gesny het, hy was eerste verkeerd gewees. Hoekom het ek my bougainvillea uithaal, jy weet, was ou Rickert se boodskap gewees, so, ons het regtig die Here se genade en krag nodig, om die bougainvillea uithaal. En nie om te verwag, ja, nou moet hom op ons snoei nie. So ja, ek wil sommer net sê, well done, as ons gehandel het met die woord, en ek wil jou aanmoedig, as jy nie gehandel het met die woord nie, maar die Here het met jou gepraat, the power of the resurrection, het ons 2-3 weke terug vir mekaar gesê, raak net realiteit in jou leven, as jy doen wat die woord sê. To know it, helps nothing, rechtig niks nie, daar is geen kracht in dit nie. You've got to act upon it, you've got to live it, en dis daar waar ons die opstandingskracht van Jesus beleef. Ag, vir oggend is ons eindelijk by a belangrike oggend. So ek hoop regtig dat die woord eenvoudig is en nie te veel is nie, maar duidelik is. En ons sal met die woord oor 2 weke handel verder, want ons moet eers tyd kry dat hy werk in ons klein groepe, werk in jou stilte tyd, werk in jou persoonlike lewe, voordat ons hom verder vat. En waaroor ons vir oggend begin praat is oor leierskap in die kerk, leadership in church, en hoe dit lyk, en hoe dit nie moet lyk nie. Seker oor ek nou vir myself gaan preek, wat ek dus op my senuwees is, maar, miskien net 'n klein bietjie agtergrond, ek wil ook nie te veel agtergrond gee nie, want dis baie, ek dink is al vir meer as 'n jaar lank, wat ek en van die gemeentelede tyd spandeer om die Nuwe Testament te lees en te ondersoek om te sê so, hoe lyk leierskap in die Nuwe Testamentiese kerk? As ons deur die eeuwe heen gaan kyk in die 2000 jaar, we've got to acknowledge that leadership has messed up big time from time to time in church. And thank God, there's also the opposite. En ek dink vir ons as gemeente is ons begeerte dat leierskap Bybel sal wees, en dat het tot seën van ons gemeente sal wees, maar ook tot seën van die Koninkryk van God sal wees. En ek dink hoe leierskap in die kerk lyk, is wereldwyde debat, en hoe dit moet lyk. So, ek wil ook vanoggend sê, wanneer ons die skrif begin lees, ons kan nie alles lees, hiervan het gaan jy by die huis moet lees, as we read scripture, each one of us must allow the Holy Spirit to open up what scripture says. Ek dink elkeen van ons kom ongelukkig na vanoggend se woord toe, soos ook gelukkig of ongelukkig, dalk het jy goeie fondasie, therefore it's advantage that you come with history concerning leadership in church to this morning's word. Maar as ons met verkeerde persepsie van leierskap vanoggend kom, dan gaan van die goed ons uitdaag, and then we need to allow the Holy Spirit and the word to speak to us, and we've got to work through it during the week, in the coming weeks. So daarom wil ek ook vanoggend se woord net kom neersit om te sê dat het versekerlik nie volleerd is en perfek is nie, maar dat het 'n werk in proses is. Om Cliff het net daarna verwys, ons wil graag op die 4de December, wil ek graag die leiers wat ek en Marina lank oor bid en lank in gesprek mee is, wil ons graag voorstel in die gemeente, en ons wil graag hulle salf, en Ons sien in die Nuwe Testament dat dit 'n Bybelse handeling is. In every New Testament church, elders was appointed. And we want to follow a biblical example in that. So, part of the next 2 weeks is tough for us, me included. Want ek stel myself saam met die ander persone voor julle en ons ontvang lering en ons bestudeer die woord oor leierskap en ons sien dat die woord sê that we need to be, wat is die woord vir bevoordeel, ons moet beoordeel word whether we qualify for leadership or not. So what we do this morning is we give our names to you and we are willing that you measure us according to scripture and see whether we qualified. So ons wil vanoggend handel deursigtig en oop om te sê, if we do not qualify as elders and as leaders in the church, you have a responsibility to come and speak to me. I think most leadership has gone haywire because we have appointed unqualified men and women in leadership. History wys dit, dat dit die grootste rede is. And therefore the congregation, and we'll read it during the next 3 weeks, sal ons uit die woord uit lees, so we don't, volgens ek in die Engels en Afrikaans die mekaar, ons verkies nie iemand as leier nie. We appoint someone that qualifies, but we've got a responsibility om te beoordeel of iemand qualified is. So, it's not democratic, it's nie 'n demokratiese proses nie, but it's a open en 'n deursigtige proses, where you can say, sure, do you know that Nantes has got more than one wife? You may only think he's got one wife, but, okay. So, en ons wil graag sien, daar dat ons elders appointed, dat ons so gou as moontlik met die werksaamhede begin. So, ek en Marina het baie heen en weer, baie heen en weer, so ons begin met van die persone wat ons gevoel het, saam met ons gaan begin in hierdie nuwe seisoen in ons gemeente, kom ek 20 jaar aan. So wat ek en Marina gedoen het, is ons het, ek hoop ek het reg getel, 5 persone gaan sien, ons het gesê, ons gevoel die Here wys vir ons dat julle as ouderling in ons gemeente moet dien. Ons het hulle gevra om te gaan bid en vas daaroor en ons te terug te kom om te sê of hulle kan sien na voor. Because we laying down our life a second time. En so die persone wat bereid is om te dien as ouderlinge in ons gemeente is Anshin en Anton en Denzel en Tian en om Ben. Saam met my. So ons is 6 wat gaan wegtrek met dit, if we qualify. If any of one us does not qualify, you've got a responsibility to come and speak to me about it. So, let's see, what leadership in the New Testament church is about. Ons sien dat vanuit Jesus' tyd en die apostels, net dood eenvoudig sien jy dwars deur die Nuwe Testament die beginsel dat sommiges leiding moet gee en ander moet volg ten opsigte van leiding. Leierskap is nie afwesig in die Nuwe Testamentiese kerk nie en ek dink is net 'n beginsel wat ons almal oor moet saamstem. Hoe dit lyk, gaan ons nou ingrawe. Iets wat ek voordat dit wil sê en dan net skrifte oor dit lees en toe sien and you've got to dig into it. Leadership in the New Testament church is dwars deur die evangelie en die Nuwe Testament sien ons dat dit pastoraal is, it means it has a shepherd heart, it is also always a council of elders. Leadership was given to a council of elders. No one else is leader in the church except the council of elders. That's the prime leadership in church. Maar ek wil voordat ek, omdat ons, meeste van ons sit hier met 'n westerse, 'n Romeinse en 'n Griekse, of wat ons dit ook al wil noem, 'n demokratiese perspektief van leierskap. Bybelse leierskap is sommer van die staanspoort af, iets wat ons uitdaag. Want Jesus begin om te sê, die een wat die meeste wil wees, moet die minste wees. Ons sien dit nêrens in leierskap nie. nie in die wêreldse leierskap nie. Sê, as jy leier wil wees, is jy bereid om die res soos Jesus se voete te was? Is jy bereid om jou lewe te verloor ter wille van die skape? We don't see it anywhere else in leadership. The sheep may lose, we send them to Iraq, they may lose their lives. Maar ons bly in die Withuis. Leierskap wêreldwyd lyk nie so nie, en 'n paar skrifte wat jy kan gaan lees, wat sê dat leierskap in die Nuwe Testament baie, baie onorthodoks lyk, in vergelyking met dit, hoe die wêreld leierskap sien. 1 Korintiërs 12 vers 22, 25, gaan oor die liggaam, en dan sê dit, die wat oënskynlik minder belangrik lyk, is eintlik die belangrikste. Dit lyk nie so in wêreldse leierskap, en wêreldse leierskap, hulle is die leier die belangrikste. Galasiërs 3 vers 28 en 29 is 'n skrif wat sê, almal van ons is gelyk in waarde voor God. Wêreldse leierskap lyk nie so nie. Die waarde, hoe hoër ek in leierskap hiërargie is, hoe hoër waarde heg ons aan iemand. Bybelse leierskap lyk nie so nie. Hebreërs 10 vers 19 sien ons dat elkeen die allerheiligste kan ingaan. Die Ou Testamentiese leierskap het nie so gelyk nie. So ons kan nie 'n Ou Testamentiese leierskap aanslag neem en dit op die Nuwe Testament toepas nie. Die Nuwe Testament lyk nie meer so nie. Ons het nie die priester nodig om in die heiligdom in te gaan nie. Each one of us can enter. 1 Petrus 5 vers 5 sê, wees gehoorsaam aan julle ouderlinge, en onmiddellik daarna sê dit, be submissive to one another. Wêreldse leierskap lyk nie so nie. Wêreldse leierskap vra nie van nuwe president elect om onderdanig te wees aan die res van Amerika nie. Dit is nie so nie. Ons sien dit in ons eie land. Ons leierskap is verhewe, en dit wat vir die res geld, geld nie vir leierskap nie. Bybelse leierskap lyk nie so nie. 1 Petrus 2 gaan daaroor dat elkeen van ons geroep is tot 'n koninklike priester in die koninkryk van God. Elkeen van ons. We don't need Christoph to hear God and to tell us what God is saying. Ja, elkeen van ons is geroep om God te hoor en te weet wie God is. So die eerste plek wat ek, dit was vir my net weer 'n openbaring toe ek begin lees in die Nuwe Testament oor ouderlinge, sien ons dat reg van die begin van die evangelies af word die term ouderlinge gebruik. Vir wie word die ouderlinge term gebruik? Vir Joodse leierskap, vir die fariseers en die sadiseers, is die eerste plek waar ouderlinge, so wat ons moet sien is dat, en is dit 'n belangrike transisie wat ons moet raak sien, is dat ouderlinge in die Nuwe Testamentiese kerk nie 'n vreemde begrip was nie. Dit kom uit die gebruik van die Midde-Ooste om ouderlinge in communities te hê wat lei. Dis nie net beperk gewees tot die Jode nie. Ons sien het dat die volke rondom ook ouderlinge het, en ons lees af van in die woord. En vir oggend tyd om dit alles net te lees nie. So, wanneer Lukas dan in Handelinge 11 die eerste keer skryf van Nuwe Testamentiese ouderlinge, die kerk ouderlinge, het gegaan daaroor dat daar nood en hongersnood was, so they send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. En Lukas gebruik dood eenvoudig elders, en hy gaan nie eers uit om homself te verduidelik nie. Hy neem aan, almal van ons verstaan wat dit beteken. Because it was just taken Paul's acting by appointing elders right through the New Testament churches came from the heritage of where the Jewish culture and die kultuur rondom hulle om ouderlinge as leiers te appoint. Ek wil sommer net 'n paar skrifte lees oor ouderlinge, soos wat ons deur die Nuwe Testament gaan. Handelinge 14 vers 30, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Ons sien hier so dat, daar's 'n paar goed wat vir my uitstaan, they appointed elders in every church, with prayer and fasting, and committed them to the Lord. Why do we commit them to the Lord? Without God, you will not be able to do the work of an elder. So ek moet sê vir julle, van julle was deel van die proses, maar hoe meer ons stil gestaan het by die werk wat 'n ouderling moet verrig, hoe banger het ons daarvoor geraak. Hoe meer ons dit beide stil gestaan het, hoe hartseerder is dit uit mekaar uit gegaan. Because we just realized what the price that we have to pay to really to be a biblical elder. We need the Holy Spirit and we need God, otherwise we won't be. Sien sommer net in Handelinge 20 spreek Petrus vir Handelinge 20 gaan dit oor Efesus, Paul praat met Efesus se sy elders. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. So ons sien reg deur Handelinge elke gemeente het elders ontvang, is aangewys. Ons sien dit in Handelinge 15, Handelinge 21 kan julle gaan lees. Soos ek sê, is net nie vir oggend miskien die terme waarvoor jy kan op die uitkyk wees, die Afrikaans sal wees ouderlinge, opsieners, rentmeesters en voorgangers. The English would be elders, overseers, bishops, stewards. We steward the flock of God. Is die term wat word gebruik. En voorgangers would be leaders. So dis die terme wat interchangeable gebruik word vir elders in die Nuwe Testament. Dit is 1 vers 7. Sien ons het Paulus geskryf, hy sê, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." So ons sien dat dit 'n Bybelse handeling was om elders te appoint in elke gemeente. So wat ek in kort wil hê wat ons net moet by stil staan en wat jy moet seker maak van jy oortuig is, is biblical leadership in the New Testament church equals elders. Kan ek dit weer sê? Is belangrik dat ons een moet wees oor dit. It does not equal evangelist, it doesn't equal pastor, it doesn't equal prophet, it equals elder. Elders, not elder. That's also important. We don't see that an elder got appointed. We see elders got appointed. A council of elders got appointed. En is vir ons belangrik om dit raak te sien en om een te wees in dit. Ek glo regtig as ons in wat ons met alles glo in die kerk, if we don't do it God's way, we will not pick the fruit that God intended. By shepherds, by leaders, by elders. So, kan ek weer opsom net so ver. Leadership in the New Testament church equals elders. Not pastor, not dominee. The words that we've used, elders, stewards, bishops, overseers, rulers. As ek in kort met iets, vir my mooi stukkie wat ek raak gelees het, what was the main role of elders? To preserve and nurture life with God in the covenant community. That's it. That was the primary role of the elders. To preserve and nurture life with God in the covenant community. Miskien sommer algemene terme, werk, verantwoordelikhede, volgende ene is to lead the church, to teach and preach the word, to protect the church, to exhort and admonish in sound doctrine, to visit the sick and pray, and to judge doctrinal issues. So maar net 'n klomp voorbeelde van wat die rol van ouderlinge was. Miskien 'n volgende slide wat ek opgesit het, we see right through the New Testament, it's not open to anyone. It's not open to anyone. We need to meet moral and spiritual qualifications. I'll read it to you from scripture. Everyone appointed as an elder and as a deacon needs to be publicly examined. Ek wil net hê ons moet mooi hoor. Publicly examined is not the same as voted for. Hoor ons? Because ons maklik dink ons gaan nou stem. Ja. We publicly examine someone. If he makes the moral and spiritual qualifications of an elder. We see that elders should be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They should be acknowledged, loved and honored. And we also see financially support comes in when it comes to elders. I just want to stand still with one. Why I think it's so important that we publicly examine all of us is that we would love to see a church where the elders are all acknowledged, loved, and honored. So that's why you have a responsibility to hear God and to see, because it will be, you will be unable to honor, love, what's the other one, and acknowledge any of us as an elder if you know about stuff that disqualifies us as an elder. You will not be able to do that. And the church will not function as God intended it to be. So, ek wil 5 vrae antwoord. Ek gaan vandag net 3 antwoord probeer. En die ander 2 oor 2 weke. 5 vrae. What is the heart of leadership? What is the heart of an elder? I want us to read scripture together. Skrif saam lees om te sien wat is die hart van 'n elder. Ons moet nie skrif lees om te sien, is leadership one or plural? Is het meervoudig of enkelvoudig? Gender. Does the word say anything about the gender of leadership? Or in this case then, where we go, does it say anything about gender on eldership or not? What does it say about qualifications? And what does it say about position? Hoe lyk posisie in die koninkryk van God? Hoe lyk dit in leierskap en in eldership? Goed, so ek gaan probeer om die eerste 3 ietsie oor te sê vir oggend. En dan gaan ons oorstap. So die eerste vraag wat ons gevra het is, hoe lyk die hart van leierskap? And I want to make the statement, it is pastoral. Ons sien dat die woord sê, an elder is to be a shepherd. I'm not talking about the fivefold ministry. I can see that someone can have the gifting of prophet, but he's got a shepherd heart. Like Jesus had compassion over Jerusalem when he looked at them. If someone hasn't got that compassion, which shows a shepherd heart for the people, I believe he's not qualified as an elder. You've got to listen to this and go and read it in the Word. Search it in the Word. Kyk of dit is wat die woord leer of nie. So, ek kan ons lees het, as iemand oor die evangelisme teach, hy sal die vrou by die wel vat en sê, look how wonderful she has evangelized the whole community the same day that she came to Christ. So I can be gifted, but it does not mean I'm an elder. There must be a heart of a shepherd. And I'll read it to you now from scripture. So biblical terms for an elder, just concerning the heart, it needs to shepherd, oversee, lead, and care for the local church. So, kom ons lees, ek het 2 skrifgedeeltes, en die skrifgedeeltes het my hart gesny oor die laaste 6 maande. Acts 20 verse 28, pay careful attention, as hierso praat Paulus met die elders van Efese, onthou julle het hulle laat roep, in vers 17, as ek reg onthou, het ons net ook gelees, om kom na my toe, dat ek met julle praat, voor ek gaan na Jerusalem toe. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves, and to all the flock. Careful attention to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Take care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Ek wil miskien net vir ons lees in Afrikaans ook, Handelinge 20, vers 28. Pas julle self op en die hele kudde oor wie die Heilige Gees julle as ouderlinge aangestel het. Pas die hele kudde op. Julle moet as herders die kerk van God versorg, die kerk wat hy vir hom verkry het deurdat sy eie seun gesterf het. Nou gaan hy aan in vers 29 en sê hy, self weet ek dat daar na my vertrek wrede wolwe onder julle sal inkom. So there is a protection, die hele beeld en die simboliek wat in die Nuwe Testament gebruik word, vir een wat die flok oppas, is that of a shepherd. So die hart van leierskap in 'n kerk, moet die hart van 'n shepherd hê. En kom ons gaan kyk net vinnig in praktyk, wat beteken het. Kom ons lees nog 1 skrif uit 1 Petrus uit. So hierdie skrif is vir my net so mooi. 1 Petrus 5, vanaf vers 1 tot omtrent 3, denk ek. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. Ek hou so van Petrus' hart hierso. Petrus is die een wat in Jerusalem opgestaan het, and it seems to us, if we look with a Western mindset to Peter, Peter is above the rest. Ons kan makkelijk die fout maak om te dink, Petrus sien homself bo die res. Is hy wat opstaan en die res sit. Is hy wat preek en die res sit. Maar Petrus, my so mooi toe skryf, I exhort all the elders as a fellow elder. Ek sien my nie bo julle verhewe nie. I'm a fellow elder of you. En dan sê hy, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Kom ek lees met dit Afrikaans uit. Nou rig ek my tot die ouderlinge onder julle. Ek is self mede-ouderling en getuie van die leiding van Christus. As 'n mede-ouderling doen ek 'n beroep op julle. As herders moet julle die kudde van God goed oppas. Hulle is aan julle toevertrou. Hou gewillig toesig oor julle. So ek wil net die sê, hou gewillig, therefore, and they say, those that desire the position of a bishop, desires a good thing. As ons nie 'n begeerte het om dit te doen nie, if we don't do it willingly, we won't be able to do it. Because it will cost every elder to lay down something, to shepherd the flock well. So, hy sê hierso, hou toesig oor hulle gewillig. Nie omdat julle gedwing word nie, maar omdat julle doen wat God wil hê. Nie om julleself finansieel te verryk nie, maar omdat julle graag in God se diens staan. En dan sê hy iets van die hart van 'n elder. Hy sê, moenie baas speel oor die wat God aan julle sorg toevertrou het nie, maar stel 'n voorbeeld vir die kudde. En wanneer die hoofherder verskyn, sal julle deel kry aan die heerlikheidskroon wat nooit vergaan nie. Kom ek blaai net om na die volgende een. Christianized elders should primarily be pastors of the flock. Now, not corporative executive CEOs or advisors to the pastor. Ons gaan nou as ons verder praat oor single leadership of plural leadership. Soos ek die woord reg verstaan, as ek en Ancient saam as elders in die gemeente dien, he's not in, kom ons vat miskien Denzel. Denzel is not my advisor how to run the congregation. He's a fellow elder taking the same responsibility and authority than what I take up in the congregation. He's not a board member that from now and then come to sit and think about the congregation. We must have a biblical imagery of shepherding if we want to understand biblical elders. So miskien om kort net bietjie meer riglyn te gee oor wat beteken het om 'n shepherd hart te hê, is to protect the flock, to feed the flock, to lead the flock, and to care for the flock. And I'm just going to leave with you with a few scriptures that you read through those scriptures on your own time and see the heart of that. So ek het net toe daarmee begin in Handelinge 20, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock. Take care for the church of God which you obtained with his own blood. Kom ons blaai net om. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert. Die verantwoordelikheid van 'n elder is om die waarheid te kan discern en die gemeente en die flok te beskerm teen dit. Dis die rol. Ons ander kan dit ook doen, maar dis een van die rolle wat die elder moet doen, is to protect. Kom ons kyk na Titus 1 vers 9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction and sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. We can see this is the role of an elder. So this puts a heavy responsibility upon the elder to study the word of God and to be alert of what the word of God teaches, that he may help in sound doctrine. He must have discernment to see where we are leaving the truth of the word and be able to correct and to help. To feed the flock, 1 Timothy 3:2, we see that they must be able to teach. Those who work hard in teach and preach in 1 Timothy 5:17 and in Handelinge 20 vers 27 sê Paulus, ek het nie daarvan weggeskram om die vol evangelie aan julle te verkondig nie. So die, we need to feed the flock as elders. And that doesn't say that a teacher cannot feed. The teacher obviously also feeds. So ons kan sien dat giftings ook 'n bydrae maak. But we're talking this morning of specifically what an elder must do and the heart of an elder must be, the responsibility. To lead the flock, hier is vir my altyd so 'n mooi skrif in Psalm 78. It says, and David led his people with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. So mooi, because sometimes we lead with integrity, and my skill laat my baie keer in die steek, and therefore we need integrity of the heart as well as skillfulness, as a shepherd, as elders in the church. We see the words used in 1 Timothy 5:17 to rule, to lead, direct, to manage, and Titus 1:7 to steward well. There's a leading that should take place by the leaders. The care for the flock, ek dink sommer aan James 5:14, as iemand siek is, laat hulle die elders kom en laat ons bid. So I want to encourage our congregation again. So many times we struggle with illness, and my question is just, are we obedient to the word of God? Are we phoning someone and say, please will you come and pray with us? I'm struggling. Let's pray together. Care for the flock. Comforting, strengthening, praying and counseling. That's the responsibility of an elder as they care for the flock. And therefore, Alexander Strauch is hard op an elder, and hy skryf in Matteus 6 vers 33, even elder does not seek the kingdom of God first, he will not be able to do the take up the responsibility of an elder. Because he says, the real problem then lies not in men's limited time and energy, but in a false idea about work, Christian living, life's priorities in Christian ministry. Tough, ek wil dit nie lees nie. Ek wil dit nie hoor as 'n elder nie. But that's where God is calling the elder, is that he may seek the kingdom of God first. So, iets, hoor julle iets van die hart van 'n elder? And this is the heart of an elder must lead, to care, protect, to feed, wat het ek uitgelos, and to lead. It's the heart of an elder. An elder must have the heart of a shepherd. As hy nie 'n shepherd se hart het nie. And only Jesus can give that. If you ask my wife, I'm still not perfect. But God has changed my heart to shepherd people. To care for the flock. Ek was glad nie so gewees nie. Ek het vir mense niks omgegee nie. Dat hy dan eers vir my eie huisgesin omgegee nie. So it's only God that can change a heart to care for people. And to lay down something that is important to you and as priority in your life to be able to do that. Only God can do that. I want to say something on plural or single leadership, and I say the biblical pattern is shared leadership. Die Bybelse patroon wat ons sien is gedeelde leierskap. Ons sien nie dat Paulus hulle eers gemeentes los met een persoon which is responsible and has the sole authority in church. It's not a biblical pattern. The 12 compromised the first leadership council of the New Testament church, and they were an example of unity, humble brotherly love, and shared leadership. So, 'n paar voorbeelde hierso, ek sê in Handelinge 6 sien ons dat hulle 7 manne die eerste dag die diakens eintlik verkies in Handelinge 6, and we see that no one is chief. All of them are serving the widows need. Paul leaves behind a council of elders in every church where he appoints elders. He appoints an council of elders. 1 Peter 2, 5:10, het ek net al gesê, there's no priest and people anymore. All are priests. All are welcome into the inner sanctuary of God. There's not a divided and a more anointed and a more holy and a preferred above others. Christ has came to make us one. So Paul goes against Jewish and Greco-Roman society where the emperor or the high priest is closer and higher than the rest. Paul goes against that and he says there's multiple leadership in church. En ek wil julle soos ons praat van leierskap heeltyd herinner aan die kontradiksie eintlik wat ons moet hoor in leierskap. You'll be the least, you'll serve, you lay down your life. You are leaders, but you should humble yourselves and be the least. Dis die heeltyd daar. Dit lê heeltyd in die agtergrond daarvan. So there's a council of equals, there's collective leadership, they are equal in position, authority and responsibility. So church leadership, I believe this is what the word teaches. Dit leer dat daar gedeelde posisie, autoriteit en verantwoordelikheid is. And we see how the church has stepped into the bottom trap. And it's unitarian beteken een ouers die leier. One man leadership. Hoe ons in het getrap het en hoe dit ons gekos het. Why? Because now we struggle with accountability. Ons struggle met uitbrand. Jy kan dit opnoem. As een ou die verantwoordelikheid. We struggle with sheep that is not fed and protected and cared for because one man can only do so much. Die nadele van een man leierskap lê die geskiedenis vol. And the reason for it, it's not biblical. If it was biblical, God would have blessed it. But it's not. Daar's 'n term, ek weet nie wie van julle dit al gehoor het nie, they call it first among equals. Dit beteken iemand is so 'n bietjie belangriker of staan uit tussen die res. Okay, we are all equals, but there's some that is first. En as ek miskien iets oor dit moet sê, wat ek in die Nuwe Testament vind daarvoor, kom ek kyk eers wat ek neergeskryf het. Some of us is more gifted in some areas than others. Sommige van ons het meer kennis oor sekere dinge. Some of us, we have more dedication. We have more leadership ability. But there's no legal and official rank. There's not a senior pastor. It allows for functional diversity without creating a superior office. So I would say that in some circumstances, Anshin would lead because he is anointed and is gifted in a certain area among the elders. And the next time we come together, Denzel will have this or that concerning wisdom or finances or whatever it is, or leadership qualities, and he would lead. So it can change according to the situation and the gift that is needed. So, die voorbeelde wat ek genoem het, ek het 3 voorbeelde genoem waar ek sien dat where we can use this first among equals, we can see where Peter stood up in Acts 1 and he started preaching. And the 11 were there, but they were sitting. But Peter were not more important. He was just the speaker. Ons sien hoe dat Jesus met 3 apostels meer tyd spandeer het as met die res. Maar ons sien nooit dat daai 3 rank het oor die ander nie. They were one. Ons sien in 1 Timothy 5:17 skryf ou Paulus aan Timoteus en sê hy vir die van die elders wat excel in teaching and preaching, give them double honor, meaning don't muscle an ox without wages. Look financially after them. Doesn't mean we do it for all the elders. We do it for those that spend so much time in ministry that we have to start supporting them. They're not supporting themselves anymore. So ek sien dat daar plek is waar daar onderskeid is in elders, and it's normally if I look at the Bible, it has to do with gifting, knowledge, all those that I've put on. It's and time, hoeveelheid tyd aan dit gespandeer. So, kom ons staan net stil voor ons afstap van shared leadership of one man leadership. So die Bybelse patroon is a council of elders, equally in position, equally in authority and equally in responsibility. And because of giftedness and timing, there's variation in how they would practically go about with the role of an elder. Dis die prentjie wat ek wil skets vir oggend en wat jy in die woord moet gaan search om te sien, is it true what I teach? Okay. Die laaste punt wat ons vir oggend wil praat oor is the gender of leadership. Nou, ek het nou maar hier gesê, niks is so kontroversieel soos dit nie, Niks kan ook so offensief wees soos dit nie. Die vraag wat ons onsself moet afvra as ons hierdie Nuwe Testament lees is, is daar 'n rol onderskeid wat getref word in die Nuwe Testament of nie? Is there a role distinction in New Testament or not? And the answer is, you've got to go and search for it if you don't know about it, but the answer is yes. There is male and female role distinctions in New Testament. But we see, and we see it right through, it's not about value. It's not about being not equal. It's about order. Kom ons lees iets oor dit. So, ek het sommer hier geskryf, daar's wel role distinction, male and female equality. Ons sien reg deur die woord, dat God sal die een oomblik sê, husband, submit to your own wives. Submit to one another. Out of respect of God. So ons sien die twee by mekaar, waar Koti aan Nantes moet submit, en dan net rukkie later, dan sê hy in Efese, Nantes, jy moet jou lewe vir Koti aflê. We see this, hierdie paradox in leierskap in die Nuwe Testamentiese kerk. There is order, but it's costing the one who's taking up lead. Okay. So ons sien dat as het ook by leierskap in die kerk kom, alle instruksie dui daarop dat elders myl is. Ons sal dit gaan lees. So en dit sê iets the firm's creation order in Genesis 2:18. En ek het daar gesê it's about order and not value. Male headship in the family. So dis ook iets, dis iets waaroor om Angus die grootste pak slaag kry as hy op sy uitreike gaan is omdat hy teach dat God het orde in die huwelik gesit. And that if we want to have a blessed household, let us follow God's advice on it. And it's not about value. He says it's about order. En ek sien dieselfde patroon wat God vir die huishouding aanbeveel, beveel hy ook vir die gemeente aan. Okay. Julle moet dit gaan search, want jou hart moet een wees met dit. Jy moet nie wonder nie. Jy moet nie dink, ja, maak as jy 'n fout mee. Ontneem ons nie die gemeente van al die giftedness van 'n vrou wat regtig anointed en gifted is nie. How does her gifting come and bless the congregation? Is ons nie besig om onsself te beperk deur dit te doen nie? Of doen ons wat God doen en ons sien dat die seën meer sal wees? So, I want to say male headship is in the family throughout the New Testament and likewise in the church. And go and read that 1 Timothy 2:8 to 3:7, 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. There's clear instruction for men and no suggestion for women elders. You won't find it. And please, if you struggle with these things, come and speak to me that we can talk about it. Dat ons dit kan sien. So ek dink ook vir ons wat nou 'n tydjie al rondom hierdie eldership in die woord spandeer het ons vir mekaar gesê I would struggle to be a good elder without my wife. Of course she's part of my responsibility and my work as an elder. But we won't appoint Marina as the elder. Iets wat ek deur die tyd gesien het en wat ek by jou wil los. Iets wat ek baie keer sien wat ons neig om te doen. Ons wil vir gebrokenheid en daar waar die gevolg van sonde heers, we want to make up for it, but we use an unbiblical plan to make up for it. So kom ek vat 'n voorbeeld, as in my en Marinda se huis, ek net dood eenvoudig nie die leiding neem in die geestelike welstand van ons huis nie. Then we can do one of two things. And my question is, which one should we do? So we say, ach no, it's okay, this is not Christoph. He's just too busy or he's too lazy or he doesn't know the word. He won't be able to do it as good as Marinda because she knows the word better. Sy spandeer al die tyd met die kinders. So let Marinda do it. It would be better for the household. En wat ek sien is, we take second best. Die Bybelse plan was, ek moet die woord leer ken, ek moet tyd met my kinders spandeer, en ek moet my verantwoordelikheid opneem. And many times, ek wil so ver gaan om te sê is, I even see in church, ek weet of ek in die publiek het mag sê nie, we see it through Africa, and we see it in Western households at the moment as well. If I talk to Pastor Henry and Pastor Temu, and you go and speak to Philip about what's happening in Africa, where's the men? Where's the men? And we can only use one word, they are absent. And we're sitting with a broken and rebellious generation. And the answer is not to equip the women. The answer is that men would take up their place. And right through society, we've got gifted and anointed women. And we should receive their gift and know how to receive that gift and to have that impartation. But God's first plan was for male to lead in that, to provide protection and feeding and caring for the flock. And I want to leave that with you and to see how in society, men are getting more self-consumed and not taking up the responsibility. And more women has to stand up and take up responsibility. And that's not God's original plan. And that's why I think right through society, throughout the world, we see the bad result of it. So I want to encourage you is, don't replace a need by second best. Do what God originally intended to do. And see what the Word teaches on that. So I just want to conclude then. We would like to see biblical leadership in our church. Ons glo dat leierskap in die Nuwe Testamentiese kerk was eerstens deur ouderlinge opgeneem. En ons sien dat ouderlinge het 'n verantwoordelikheid in die volgende areas en die eienskappe in die volgende areas. We need a shepherd heart. If we don't have a shepherd heart, we will not be able to lead and feed and protect and care for the flock. We need a shepherd heart. And secondly, we see Paul's way of putting leadership in churches was plural, a council of equal elders, led the New Testament churches. Ek kan gaan lees, ek het ergens 'n slide en al die omtrent in elke brief sien ons iets oor die elders. Amper in elke boek hier te kom. Paulus skryf Handelinge, Timoteus, Filippus, Titus, ons sien dit in James, 1 Petrus, Romeine, Tessalonisense, Hebreëus. In al die boeke kan ons gaan lees oor ouderlinge, overseers, bishops, stewards of the household of God. Dit was a biblical pattern. Shepherd heart, plural leadership, and male leadership. It's the three questions I would like to answer today. And I'm going to send it out to our small groups. En ouens, ek wil julle vra, hierdie is regtig belangrik vir ons. Dit is nie tyd om nou in ons klein groepe met iets anders besig te wees nie. Dis tyd dat ouens kan sê, ja, ek verstaan nie dit nie, hoe dit nog altyd so gewerk, hoekom, ek sien eintlik hulle maak so. And we need to get clarity upon that. I won't like on 4th of December to appoint and anoint elders. And we are still all over the place concerning the role and the function of an elder. We need to be in unity. Otherwise we cannot witness in unity. And if you appoint us and if you anoint us, we need the Holy Spirit and the love and the support and the acknowledgement of the congregation. We will not be able to take up our responsibility without that. Kom ons maak ons oë toe, dan bid ons saam.